Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 16. As we come to Mark 16, we arrive at the grand finale of this gospel that's all about Jesus, the suffering servant. Mark chapter 16 is the resurrection. Earlier in the service, we heard about the resurrection in the Old Testament, and it's no surprise to us that the resurrection is all over the New. We see it all through the Gospels, but then in the epistles as well, and in the testimonies and the conversations of the New Testament. It was at Pentecost that Peter rested his case on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, he preached that God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And later in his message at Pentecost, Peter preached that this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. When Paul stood on Athens in that Mars Hill, he said in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, of the resurrection of the dead, he said, he hath raised him from the dead. When Paul stood before Felix in Acts chapter 24, verse 21, he said, listen, I want to speak about and I want to touch the story and the truth of the resurrection of the dead. It was there at before Agrippa again in Acts 26, verse 23. Paul preached that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. 260 chapters in the New Testament. The resurrection as a theme is spoken of 280 times. And it speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our God is not dead. He is alive. Our faith is founded on the reality of a risen Savior. It's our infallible proof that He is alive. The Gospels, the good news, Mark chapter 16, if you found your place, would you stand? As we hear again this account of the resurrection. If you were in the sunrise service, we read the Matthew account. Now we're going to Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome both had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And verily early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came under the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Amen. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. I want you to draw your attention there to the words of the angel. In the sunrise service, we drew attention to come and see and go and tell. But verse number 7, he says unto them, but go your way. That phrase speaks of purpose. Go your way. Go do what I've called you to do. Listen today, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. We've got purpose. We have power. We have peace in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we come to you today. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you in a powerful, personal way, with through your word, reveal your truth to us. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would speak peace to hearts that are hurting today. Lord, through the power of your resurrection, I pray that you would reach down, Lord, and you would convict of sin so men may believe, and may we see you as who you are, the risen Savior with the only hope of eternal life. And may today be a resurrection day for those that need you as their personal Savior. We ask for your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, you were in the midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. As we look at that Easter Sunday, the first Easter in the morning, there the Word of God reveals the encounter of the women. In the afternoon, we know that Jesus appeared to the two that were walking on the road to Emmaus. In the evening, we find the encounter of Jesus speaking to the men, those that were worried and wondering, these 11 that were gathered in Jerusalem. And every one of the encounters involves the same pattern. It begins with doubt. It continues to discovery, and it leads to declaration. As we come to the tomb this morning, spiritually through the Word of God, you may be filled with doubt. You may have some grief in your life. You may be weary from your journey. But let me just take you this morning to an empty tomb. Amen. It's the journey that many have traveled. And it's the journey that all of us today can leave declaring, He's alive. This journey in Mark chapter 16 is of these women that were making their way to the tomb. And sometimes we get this idea that they were doing so to worship and in faith. But in reality, they were doing so because they did not believe that he had risen from the dead. They were going to anoint a dead body with spices. They were filled with fear. They were filled with devastation. And while they were coming with devotion, they were doing so not in faith. In fact, they were worrying about some things that they didn't even have to worry about. They were wondering, who's going to roll away the stone? And guess what? An angel had already rolled it away. Many things that we worry about today are things that we don't even need to worry about. Because of the resurrection, he is alive. He is king. He is in control. You can imagine today the devastation and fear that gripped their hearts. These ladies that had looked up to Jesus had seen him crucified. Luke chapter 23 lets us know that they were there the entire time, even as they witnessed as Jesus stood before Pilate and the Sanhedrin. They had witnessed the buffeting and the beating that he had taken. They had watched his flesh shredded by that awful cat of nine tails. They knew that he had been scourged. They had seen and maybe even felt the great drops of blood that had fallen beneath the pathway. They watched as Jesus was impaled on a cross and nails seared his tendons. Luke chapter 23 records women that were weeping and bewailing and lamenting him. But Jesus said unto them, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. The women watched as Joseph of Arimathea had brought the body of Jesus down from the cross. They beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. They joined with Joseph in the burial rites and how Sabbath was approaching and they could not work. Jesus was in that tomb. They would have rested during that time of Sabbath, but on that third morning, on that third day, they were coming to the tomb. They were coming with additional spices. John chapter 19, verse 39 lets us know that Nicodemus had already covered him with 100 pounds of spices using a mixture of myrrh and aloes. You see, Jesus was buried behind a stone, but he was also buried under 100 pounds of spices. Normally, it would have left a pound or two at most, but he spent almost $250,000 in today's currency to cover him completely. Although that demonstrates his love and loyalty, it didn't demonstrate faith in a resurrection. These women wanted to add even more. They were doing so out of their works, but really they needed faith in what Jesus had done. The concern that they had already been answered. And they arrived to the tomb. And the stone was rolled away. John uses the term ivro, meaning it was lifted up and it was thrown aside. Most likely even in a field nearby. And they wondered what had happened. Think about if you had been there, how hard it would have been for you to believe. If you had seen Jesus beaten, bruised, bloodied. The Bible says that he wasn't even recognizable as a man. If you had watched his beard be plucked out, if you had seen that crown of thorns savagely stuck into his skull, if you had witnessed the scourged body of the Savior, if you had seen his nerves twitch as his tendons were torn by the nails that held him to the cross, if you had seen his quivering body rising and falling with beats of breath that kept him alive until the moment when he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I command thy spirit, tetelestai, it is finished." By the way, that term tetelestai was used in the Olympic Games. It was not a term to say that it was over. It was a term that said, "I have won. It is finished, paid in full." If you had been there when the spear of the soldier punctured his pericardium, forthwith flowing blood and water, if you had seen the lips that spoke words of grace, now blue in death, if you had seen the eyes that had communicated love, now reflecting nothing, if you and I would have doubted too, you would have doubted too. If you had seen the pierced feet that carried the glorious gospel, pierced and wounded, you would have doubted too. The last at the cross would be the first at the grave. See, these ladies were working, they were trying to worship, but they were still missing the reality of the resurrection. You know, it's possible today to serve Jesus and still not be quite there when it comes to the reality of the resurrection. It's possible to stand with Jesus and still not be all there when it comes to the reality of the resurrection. It's possible to sympathize with Jesus and not be completely there. You don't have the power and the proof until you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says he has been declared and proven to be the Son of God. How? Through the spirit of holiness by the resurrection. Friend, today without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no future reunion in heaven. Without the resurrection, there is no reward. Without the resurrection, there is no heavenly rest. There are some that say that Jesus did not die on the cross. He simply swooned. In fact, that's a popular progressive liberal theology that some people will say that he swooned and somehow was carried and revived in the cold of the tomb. Years ago, a man wrote a letter to his local newspaper, and he's gone to a liberal service at where the minister explained that Jesus really didn't die and denied the resurrection. And by the way, that so-called minister should get an honest job if he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And the person wrote, the editor wrote back, if the preacher said uneasily, "Listen, that Jesus just swooned on the cross and the disciples nursed him back to health." He said, "What do you think?" The editor said, "Dear sir, beat that preacher with a cat of nine tails, give him 39 heavy strokes, hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, seal him in an airless tomb for 72 hours, and then see what happens." Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. There was no swooning. It was a miraculous resurrection. Verse number 5, they entered the tomb. They saw a young man. It tells us that angels will appear as these young men witnessing. And he was clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid. They were terrified. They were stricken with fear. If you saw an angel in a tomb, you would be as well. The angel says, "Don't be afraid." How many times here in the gospel accounts, if you've read them, how many times you hear that phrase, "Fear not"? Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Because the biggest thing, I believe this is a message of the resurrection, the biggest thing that you and I face in life is fear. Everyone has fear. And you may be serving, you may be standing, you may be there with the Savior sympathizing. But if you really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would have no fear. Over and over again you hear, "Don't be afraid." The message of the cross was, "He is not here. He has risen as he said." If we just take God at his word, we can have hope for our fears. You understand today, because he lives, we have hope for our fears. We don't have to be afraid. We can stand out in confidence and faith. 365 times in your Bible, one time per day of the year, you'll find either "do not be afraid" or "fear not." Every day, God wants us to wake up with the reality that we serve a risen Savior. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in anxiety. Fear doesn't have to control my life. I can trust him. I can live for him. But even these These women that witnessed and heard this message still left with a little bit of fear in their hearts. It's interesting that as they go out and as they go out with this message of come and see and go and tell, they still have fear. And as they go, Jesus appears again to them. And I'm thankful today if we just do what God has called us to do, we can have his abiding presence. And in his presence, we can have faith and not fear. Hey, friend, today, fear will paralyze you, but faith will mobilize you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. 17 different times in the Gospels after his resurrection, Jesus stood before his disciples and over again, he said, fear not, don't be afraid. We don't have to be afraid today because we believe he is alive. We have a certainty. We have a hope in his resurrection. Do you believe? If you're still doubting, if you're still wondering, do an investigation. And let that investigation turn into a declaration. How many of you have heard the name Socrates? It's a good name for a cat maybe, but Socrates was a man that lived. You know, all we have in the record of Socrates in his life is the record of Plato. Plato said he lived, so I guess he lived. Not a lot of evidence. Dr. Paul Meyer, the professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, said, quote, "The documentary evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is better attested than some events in secular history from 50 years ago. We have more eyewitness evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead than for the death of Alexander the Great in Babylon in 323 BC. And then we do for the famous assertion that Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon. Attorney Francis Lamb from Madison, Wisconsin, authored the work Miracle in Science, which tests the credibility of the claims of Scripture through legal examination. He attested by the standards and ordeals of jural science by which questions of fact are ascertained and demonstrated in contested questions of right between man and man in courts of justice. The resurrection of Jesus stands as a demonstrated fact." Jesus appeared to 500 at once. The Bible says they were alive even in the writing of the Gospels. When Jesus said it is finished and the veil rent in two from the top to the bottom was a witness. The Bible says there are many that came out of the grave. If you wrote something like that at that time, it would be easily discounted, but it was received. He said, I believe that thousands were saved at early church. Not only because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that has not changed, but also because of the initial proof in the gospel that was very clear that Jesus had risen from the dead. The resurrection would change the disciples into fearless preachers. That's right. Charles Colson of the Nixon administration involved in the Watergate scandal said, quote, I know the resurrection is a fact. And Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, and stoned and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. He said Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? It's impossible. We serve a risen Savior. We have certainty in his resurrection. Romans 5 verse 10, we're saved by his life. 1 Corinthians 15, 4, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There was a young girl in a college class that was talking to her atheist professor, and the professor said to her in her faith, she said, there are many people throughout history who claim to be Christ. He said, what do you believe? She said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Christ. And he said, which one? There are many that claim to be Christ. He said, which one do you worship? And she said wisely and boldly, well, I worship the one that rose from the dead. Oh, we have the certainty of the resurrection, the necessity of his death, the truth, the veracity of his words. The Word of God says when they remembered his words, they had faith. Jesus had said that he was going to die. Jesus had told them that he would be buried, and Jesus had told them that he would rose again. How can we have hope for our fears? Let's just go back in our minds and hear his word and trust what he said. Matthew 20 verse 18, Jesus said, we go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus told them exactly what would happen. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. He taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Jesus told them in John chapter 2, verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Even at his court case, even at while he was brought there before the Sanhedrin, they used those words against him. Even after his death, they called for a watch on his tomb because they knew that he had said he would rise from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let us not get the idea that Jesus was some martyr that was murdered by others, that was taken advantage of, and just some sort of example for us. Jesus prophesied about his death. Jesus said he would die. He went to the cross. He died. He said he would rise again, and he rose just as he says. How does that help us with our fears? Hey, Jesus lets us know that in this life we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Do you understand that we've read the back of the book and we win? And if you place your faith in a resurrected Savior, if you place your faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can live this life in faith, not worrying about the stones that haven't been rolled away, not wondering if Jesus is really going to come through, but trusting him every single day. You can have faith that will mobilize you. The early church had it. You can too. Believing him, trusting him based upon his words. And number two, not just hope for your fears. Because he lives, we have hope for our failures. Did you notice what the angel said to these women that were there at the tomb? He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter, specifically Peter. Why? It was Peter who had failed the Lord. You think of that faithful night that Jesus had said that he was going to be arrested. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, all of you will abandon me. Peter stood up and said, I would never deny you, Lord. He said, I'll go to the cross. I'll go to death for you. And he meant well. He even pulled out his sword. We kind of blame Peter. He's the only one that pulled the sword out and went after the ear. I think he was going for the head. And he went out and Jesus said, no. But when he saw the circumstances, even Peter with his zeal, when he saw the circumstances and felt the emotion, he turned. And he three times he said, I don't know the man. The first one was just a young lady, just a girl by the fire, is warming his hands there, the fire of the enemy. And a little maiden said, I think you're one of his disciples. Just a little girl. That's all it took him to go, I don't know what you're talking about. And over and again, just like Jesus said, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And on that third time, Peter curses and denies and swears like that old lost fisherman that he once was and said, I don't know the man. And the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at him, past those that were abusing and accusing him, looked at Peter. Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can only imagine the guilt and the shame that he felt, the bitter tears that he cried. How many times maybe he cried just, Lord, I'm sorry. The failure gripped his heart. Maybe you've been there in your life. Time of failure and sin. He that says he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. There's hope for your failures. Hope for your fears, but hope for your failures. There's hope for Peter. There's hope for you. He denied him three times. He lived in agony and fear and failure. But Jesus had a message for those women. Go tell Peter, I'm alive and I'll see him in Galilee. The Bible says that when Jesus appeared there at the shore, when Peter was in the boat, he went back to fishing. He had left preaching. He had gone back to his old life and his old way of business and fishing business, and he's out there catching nothing. And how often do we go back to the world and we can't really find that pleasure and that joy that only Jesus can provide? And he sees Jesus on the shore of Galilee, and he recognizes, and he throws himself into the water and goes after Jesus. Say, listen, friend, the best thing you can do after a failure is swim to Jesus. Just get to Jesus. And he goes all the way, and the Lord Jesus has breakfast for him. And he looks at him and says, Lord, he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me like I love you? And Peter looked at him, I love you. Three times. Do you love me more than these? I don't know what the these were. Maybe the fish. It could have been the disciples where Jesus said, I love you more than all of these. I will stand up for you. He said, do you love me more than these? I don't know what it was, the boats, the fish, the other disciples. But he said, you love me more than anything and anyone. And he said, you know that I love you. And he had a commission for him. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He's letting him know he's not done with Peter. Hey, maybe this morning you've messed up. Maybe here on this Easter Sunday you've showed up to a service and you're thinking that it's too late, that you've gone too far. Hey, listen, friend, it's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late not to get back and do what God has called you to do. Aren't you glad today that the God of heaven, the resurrected Savior, doesn't throw the clay away? He draws you back with cords of love to himself. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. There's hope for your fears. There's hope for your failures. You come to Christ. You confess your sins. You get cleansed. There's blood that covers all your failures. There's hope for your failures. And if you feel like you failed, you feel like you've walked away, just come back to Jesus. Easter Sunday is a good Sunday for a rededication to the resurrected Savior. Oh, listen, friend, these women that went to the tomb were worried. They were wondering. The disciples were wandering. They weren't even there. But the Lord says, I still love you. I still have a purpose for you. I still want you. Come meet me in Galilee. And Jesus is calling out to everybody here today. I love you. I know you. I care for you. I've got a purpose for you. I'm not done with your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. Come to me. I've got something for you to do. A purpose. Go your way. I've got a purpose for you every day of your life because he lives. I don't have to have fear because he lives. When I fail, I can get back and get up. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Because he lives, we have hope for our fears. Because he lives, we have hope for our failures. And because he lives, we have hope for our future. Think about that first Easter Sunday. The disciples and the followers of Jesus put him in that tomb. All hope died in their minds on that faithful Friday that Jesus died. They placed his lifeless body. As they went to that tomb, they were filled with no thought of the future, misery and agony and fear for the future, just feeling like there was nothing left for them. But when they saw the empty tomb, they knew there was a future. Because listen, friend, this life is not it. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. James says it's like a vapor, just a little bit of smoke. Every one of us have an appointment with death. I don't know when your appointment is. I've done many funerals since I've been here of the times of Tabernacle. I know saints up in heaven. I believe even more up in heaven when I started pastoring this church than those that are even here today. Of that first congregation. Many pillars of the church that are in heaven today. I know life is a vapor, young and old alike. It's an appointment. But you don't have to fear that, because this life, every day, Jesus Christ could come today or call us to be with him today. All of us have an appointment. Within 50 years, I would dare say, 50 to 100 years, everybody here will either be in heaven or that place called hell. And heaven is just the start. Do you understand that eternity? If I could just get a glimpse of eternity, an eternal God raised from the dead. Our life is just a little part, a little piece of the puzzle. And forever, an eternity is forever. You see, the best is yet to come for a Christian. Always. It doesn't matter how bad your day is going. The best is yet to come because we're going to be with Jesus. Amen. You say, well, I've got some physical problems. Well, you've got a brand new body up in heaven. The resurrection guarantees that. I've got some financial problems. Well, you got a mansion on a hillside. You have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, a lively hope. Well, friend, I've got some friends that I've missed and friends that have gone on before. You will see them again, family, loved ones. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. If you know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You know what's in front of you. You know what's beyond. And it's heaven forever with Jesus Christ. There's hope in his word. There's hope in the future. There's faith if you believe on him, if you trust him, if you place your faith in his finished work. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on Easter Sunday addressed his congregation with these words. And I believe it would be very similar to what we face today. Maybe today you're wondering about your future. Gasoline doesn't go as far with the money that you have than it used to. Inflation, politics, you can get very depressed if you look around you. You can get very discouraged if you look within you. But you look up at Jesus, look at Christ, you can have faith and have hope for the future. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones addressed his congregation. He said, this morning, as I look over this evil, sinful world, it does not depress me because I expect from it nothing better. Whatever may be going against me, whatever may be happening in my own body, this is what I must expect because of sin. But though I die, I shall rise again. I shall see him face to face. I shall see him as he is, and I shall be like him in a body glorified with every power renewed. And I shall be living in a realm that is incorruptible and undefiled, in a realm that can never fade away. This is the living hope of the resurrection. This is the message of Easter, and that hope is absolutely safe and secure. The resurrection itself guarantees it all. Every enemy has been destroyed. Christ has conquered them, everyone. He said this, the resurrection of Christ announces that he has conquered every enemy. He has vanquished every foe. He has risen triumphant from the grave. And so death, nor life, nor hell, nor anything else can prevent or delay the coming of his kingdom in all of its glory. He alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm here to tell you on Easter 2022, our God's not dead. He's alive. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Nothing can hold you down. We don't have to stay down because he got up. Nothing will keep us back because he's got a future for us. Our future is as bright as the promises of God and the power of a resurrected Savior. We have ability. We have power. We have authority in his life. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's not just a religious trite saying. It's a truth that builds hope in us. And we have that hope. We have no fears. We have that hope. We understand when we fail, there's a forgiveness and there's a blood that covers and there's a hope that receives us. When we have that life and that fear of the future, we can have faith that he has our future. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. That's a hope in Jesus Christ because he lives. If tomorrow does not come for you here, if you're saved, if you have Jesus, you'll be with him there. It doesn't matter what's in front of us. As a recovery coach and talking to people, there are many that look for substitutes for reality. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You don't have to escape reality. You can live in the reality of a resurrected Savior. I'm telling you, friend, I don't want to be trite today, but there's truth. There's no high like the Most High, okay? You don't need to turn to a drug or a relationship or a situation or a sin. You turn to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, and live in the truth, in the reality that he's alive. And like those disciples, like those women that were worried and wondering, when the power of the Spirit falls fresh upon you and the anointing and the filling of the Holy Ghost, you can step out and boldly declare, he's alive. The early church turned the world upside down because they knew for a fact that he was alive. We're barely tipping it because we're kind of walking through this world worried, wondering about things that the resurrection already moved out of the way. Wondering about stones when the angels already taken them out. Wondering about what's going to happen when we get there when he already holds the future. Let's step out in faith and be filled with the Holy Spirit and declare a resurrected Savior. It's a living hope. A living hope. He's got the keys. He's locked the gates. He's the resurrection in the life. He's the way, the truth in the life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can take what your enemies meant for evil and turn it out and work it together for your good in His glory. He's brought you too far to leave you behind. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll forget your past. He'll enable you to be a new creature. He'll give you a second to third chance and to infinity chances this side of eternity. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. There's a new mercy. There's a new forgiveness. There's a new love. I've come here to announce that when you come to Jesus, whatever happened yesterday is gone. Buried in the depths of the sea. Removed as far as the east is from the west. Every day is a new day. Jesus is alive. I said in sunrise service, creation itself preaches the resurrection. Think about it. Every morning, there's a new sunrise. After every winter, there's a spring. Yes. As we think about this time of year, and we say Jesus is alive, we live in that hope. This past week, my son and I were up, and if you noticed, we were out hiking and camping, and we were with Noel and Brian and his son and some friends, and we were out in the beauty of God's creation. It's amazing to see the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth His handiwork. We were set to fly out, and I don't recommend Spirit Airlines or Frontier. Just put it that way. Leave it there. It's cheap, but you get what you pay for, and I'll leave it right there. We can take that out of the radio broadcast. But we pulled up, and I noticed there's some things going on online through the app on the program. And we're out in the wilderness. It was awesome, just peaceful and joyful. And kind of got into Las Vegas and things changed. I'm like, Joey, keep your head down. Don't look around. And we got in there and things were kind of turning. That little anxiety and that little stress and mess. And I pulled up and Spirit Airlines were striking. And I felt like striking too, but a different kind. And I was just, I'm not going to get home for Easter. And I was like, I'm going to be stuck in Las Vegas. What am I going to do? Raise money for the next building project? I don't know what I'm going to do here. So... And I was starting to be afraid. And don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. If there's situations that come in your life, it happens too. I know what God's word says. I know He works all things out according to the counsel of His own will. I know He works all things out together for good and for His glory, for those that love Him or called according to His purpose. I know this, but sometimes I don't feel that way. It was there in the moment of just quietness and kind of concern that the Spirit of God said, there's opportunities here. Take the opportunities. First opportunity I had with my son was just to show him the difference there at the hotel. And I said, let's just wait. It forced us to walk through the casino. And I said, we're going to walk through this thing. And I walked him through and I said, no, Joey, look at those guys over there. I said, that's what happens when you play video games all day long. But it's not only that, but do they look happy? No. Sitting there. I didn't see anybody go, yeah, I won, the entire time. How in the world do they pay for the place? That beautiful. They pay for the people losing. I said, which one's better? Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Smoke and all. Take it all in. He's like, Daddy, what are you doing here? I said, which was better? The beauty of God's creation or here at the casino? He's like, obviously the mountain, the beauty of God's creation. It's a lesson learned. We got in one of like five Ubers because you're going all over the place. I really do have ADHD. I can't stay in one place, and so I'm like, let's go to Starbucks. Let's go. Let's take an Uber down to In-N-Out. Let's go take an Uber now to the Mexican restaurant. I'm going all over the place in Las Vegas. Each time I was like, Lord, you're going to have a divine appointment. And I'm just talking to the drivers, talking to the people, and I know of at least 10 that are going to a local church there because of that time we spent there, amen. Extra time. One young man trusted Christ as Savior as I shared him the gospel. What stood out to me was a clear divine appointment. I believe I should share this. We got into the car, and it was the car that we weren't supposed to be in. We were supposed to be in a different car. We got there, it couldn't fit us, and I just sense the Lord wanted me to leave it, and that car ended up running out of gas, so thankful it wasn't in that one. My friend showed me a picture, they had to push him to the gas station. And this new vehicle, and I began to invite this lady to church, and this church I knew locally, and she immediately began to cry. She said, just this morning, I was praying and asking God for a church for Sunday. And I said, Lord, if you're there and you care for me, would you open up somewhere and let somebody let me know about a church this Sunday? And she said, I'm just feeling, she's saved. She didn't have a local church, nowhere to worship, nowhere to attend. She said, I need a place to fellowship. I told her everybody needs a Paul to learn from, a Barnabas to learn with, and a Timothy to pour into. And she said, my ministry is Uber driving. And I was like, so that means I can go for free? And I was joking with her, but she said, no, my ministry is Uber driving. And when people come to the car, I pick them up from the airport, and they're happy. They're in Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. She says, when I take them back to the airport, they're hurting. She said, but not y'all. Y'all are, something's different about y'all. And I said, well, I'm saved. I'm ready to get, I'm just, if you saw me a few hours ago, I was not happy. But, but she said, she said, story after story, my son can attest to this, of people that have tried to jump out of her car, finding out that the person they were with was married, or losing all their money and having nothing, or came to Vegas to find hope. Guess what? No hope. Just death. She said, there's one girl that jumped out of the car. And as she was about to jump out of the car, rather, as the door was open, she was about to jump out. The lady looked over and she said, Jesus died so you don't have to. Jesus died so you don't have to. And that was enough for the girl to shut the door. And they pulled over. She trusted Christ as her Savior. Amen. And she began to pour testimony. Her testimony. I connected to her pastor. She's attending that church this morning. Amen. I can say with confidence, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And there's a message here for believers. Maybe you're a Peter. I will never, not me, Lord, never deny him. I'll never do that. Be careful.
That's right.
Be careful. Peter did it before the even night was over. Because when the situations change, and what before you, what you feel on the inside, and what faces you on the outside, and what you know up here is not in here, I'm telling you, friend, that's when you need to have the hope of the resurrection holding you fast, or you'll fall. And even when you do, you come back to Jesus. Go back to Christ. Maybe it's been a while since you've been in his presence. He loves you. He cares for you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Come to Christ. Maybe you're like those women that are just worried about things that the resurrection has already taken care of. Just live in faith every day. There's no other way than to trust him. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow, you can enjoy today in the reality of his resurrection. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you don't know him as your personal Savior. You know this is true. I know it because I've attested it. You try to find happiness and hope in relationships, and they'll disappoint. You try to find it in substances or sin, and there's always an end. You try to find it in other people, and they'll let you down. But if you look and come to Jesus Christ, you'll get plugged into eternity and the eternal one who will never disappoint, who will never let you down. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hey, listen, friend, here's a word for you. He died so you don't have to. If you're about to jump out, or you're about to do something, maybe there's somebody here this morning, you're at your last rope. Would you hold on to that? You say, I'm holding on to a thread. Hold on to the thread of his garment.
Amen.
Come to Christ today. Hold on to Jesus. He's our living hope.
Yes.
I can't even walk without him holding my hand, because he lives. You can face tomorrow. Do you need hope for your fears? Come to Jesus. You need hope for your failures? Come to Jesus. If you need hope for your future, come to Christ.